it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought.
Get out.
Look
Lee,
back
go
on the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean, is
that
this...
That was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Waiver Wednesday, everybody. Happy Waiver Wednesday.
Yeah.
Although we have a league that runs them tonight and not last night.
League, a guillotine league that
no,
does that?
No, the league is
just a regular league.
Just,
yeah,
regular.
But I've got a couple of those.
All of our guillotines go last night. You wake up this morning. The real hustlers, the real grinders are the ones that wake up and check in bed before 6 a.m. and see the players that made it all the way through waivers and then just snap up the scraps for free.
Yeah. Oh, the people that I could see the timestamp on it, like 4:26 in the morning.
Yes.
Up. Like, I used to be one of these people. I would, before I did the morning shift, I would set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning, wake up for 2 minutes, add the players I wanted, go right back to sleep. Perfectly right back to sleep.
The players that cleared waivers, as they say. They should make the NFL do that. That's how it should work. You want a player at 4 a.m. is when it opens.
Well, shouldn't they just do the whole thing on an app?
Probably. They,
player they, transactions,
do
and
they?
Trades.
Are we sure they don't?
No, they do it old school, right? They're using fax machines still, I bet. At the NFL.
No email,
right?
No emails, no group,
that
no group chat.
What's the transaction wire? We always hear about the transaction wire that comes out at 4 o'clock. It feels very old school. I don't think they've got their own intra-GM app where, let me look. Oh, you know, oh, look, Bean just dropped Robbins. Should maybe give him a call.
Now I have to know how this all works.
You get a notification from the NFL GM's app.
It's not that much to make an app.
No,
they
I mean,
could just use the exact thing they're using that chronicles the why. Just make an app.
Right.
With 32 users and, I mean, 32 users and Schefter and Rappaport are on it. That's it. Like, how do these guys know everything?
They're on the app.
They're on the app.
They're on the app.
They have this very secret app that just tells them everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy hump day. Happy Wednesday. It's, we're on to week two. We'll talk with Sal at 7. Joe Marino at 8:30, Bills and Jets on the way. And less than a month from the Sabres opener. Don't forget about that. Yesterday, the Sabres tweeted that out. Their opener was a month from yesterday.
Yep, and I believe preseason game number one. Like, I think there's a hockey game at the arena in 13 days.
Okay.
In 13 days, you yourself could go down to the arena and watch them in that uniform. A couple of them.
Exciting.
Maybe Thompson will be on the ice, or a couple of them. So, yeah, we're getting there. Prospects Challenge before that, too. So, hockey. Sneaks up on you.
We'll be busy, yeah. We'll be busier. It'll, you know, pass the time between these performances from the Bills, which is kind of what it does for me in the early months. You know, plenty of people around here that say hockey season begins when football season ends. Sadly, not taking a shot here, often hockey season is also over when football season's over around here. Again, like I said, not trying to take a shot, just speaking reality for, you know, a number of seasons that they've been through. But hopefully this season is different. So, you know, that's the best I got.
Or the Bills will have won the Super Bowl and we won't even care.
I would still care. I would still care.
You wouldn't care as much.
I would still be mad that next day
the Sabres,
I don't have anything
Sabres
meaningful
are,
to watch.
Sabres are on pace for 58 points. But guys, I mean, come on, look over here. Look at, there's the trophy.
I'd still care.
They just put it up on display outside the new stadium. Like, just let's go. You want to go look at the trophy today? Let's go. I don't know what they do with the trophy. It's not like the cup, right? Where they like pass
they
it around, everyone gets their own day.
Take it on the parade route.
They do that, but what about after that?
Then it goes to the building. Like, you get to keep one. Every franchise has one. Like every Super Bowl that's won, they keep it. That's how the Packers have theirs on display, right? It's like a state championship trophy that you keep. And if you have a case with six of them, then there they are.
I'm talking like a big protective, like protective. Maybe you want 24-hour security on the Lombardi Trophy, like outside the new stadium, like, you know, being protected by the big buffaloes, for instance. And, like, there's no – this is like – it would take a movie, an action movie featuring Tom Cruise to get this thing out of there. Like, this thing is locked in. Do that rather than just put it in someone's office. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong about all this. Hopefully. Maybe they get replicas in the actual Lombardi Trophy.
They make new ones every year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's one real one because –
like the Bills, I think this is the way it works. The Bills would get to keep the one they won. They'll make a new one for next year, and then they'll make another one, and then they'll make another one. I think that's how they've done it.
Yeah.
There's not like one trophy.
It's not the cup, no.
No, there's 50 of them.
But is there one that acts as the one that they give at the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think
so. Or is it like, this is the one we made for you, keep this one right here?
I think it's the one you made for them. Right. Okay. Like the one that the Eagles hoisted last year, they have put away somewhere, and next, like, they've already made the one that blank will hoist in 2026.
Feels like it'd be a more responsible way to do it if you made it and said, here's the one to raise for the ceremony. All right, we'll send you yours in a couple days. Go party, because you'll lose this. You know, if I got a medal walking off a podium, like, actually, could you hang on to this? Because I'm so happy. I don't want to be responsible for this in the next 48 hours.
Right, there's no keeper of the Lombardi like there is a keeper of the cup.
Right, you're on your own.
Yeah, they just give it to you.
Has a franchise ever had to ask for a new one to be made? Mm. There's a fun question. Right?
Hey, we broke it.
Yeah.
Or we lost it.
You sent an email.
Hey, Gronk threw it in the ocean.
Didn't they dent it when they did that? There was some dent somewhere along the way.
I'm sure it's been dented.
He bunted it at a Boston Red Sox game. Gronk did. He, like, someone threw a pitch, and he put the Lombardi out, and there's a big dent in the football size of a baseball.
There was a boat parade that Tampa did where Brady got, because he threw it from one boat to the next.
Yeah.
That was, like, their COVID boat parade when they won.
I remember, because we Googled how deep that channel was and who would go get it.
Right.
Which would have been one of the coolest things we could possibly have lived through to see that. Like, round-the-clock coverage on NFL Network as they look to recover the trophy.
Yeah, Gronk damaged the trophy by using it for batting practice at Fenway Park in 2019. There also was a 2017 car accident where a deer hit the car that they were transporting to New England, and the trophy was, it looks like, slightly dented, but it doesn't look like there's a long list of Lombardi trophy accidents. Whereas, the cup, I feel like there are. I mean, they could just kick back and tell you hours of stories about like what the Rangers did to the cup in 94 and so on and so forth. They dented the cup last year before it left the ice.
I'm looking at this dent that Gronk put in it for bunting it, and he sure did. He bunted it with the trophy. And the zoom in, you will not be surprised to find out that there is a small baseball-sized dent. It looks just like – if I didn't know what had happened, I'd say, did somebody hit that with a baseball? There's a little dent right in the back of it.
And then you would have been correct. That is exactly what happened.
In his defense, it really is some textbook work from Gronk on this bunt. He's in some sort of tent, and, I mean, what I'm trying to say is it's a nice bunt. He did well.
Mm-hmm.
Go check the video if you want. Here we are. It's September 10th. We're talking about the Lombardi Trophy.
And they're 1-0. Yep.
1-0.
And we feel comfortable talking about what they'll do with the trophy. I do.
Not everybody does.
I do.
I got a tweet yesterday. Hey, guys, can we just talk about the Jets? The answer is no. No, we can't just talk about the Jets. How on earth would anybody just talk about the Jets?
The Jets. The Jets who just lost a 48-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Jets team.
They gave up a ton of points.
At home, by the way. The Jets.
Are we setting ourselves up for one of these very stupid the Bills lose at the Jets games that all – I mean, they happen a lot.
I mean
– More than they should.
They could. I'm going to have to settle down, though, because this Lombardi Trophy thing isn't out of nowhere. I'm just driving around yesterday, and I'm listening to Chopin Bulldog talk about the schedule coming up, and it's, like, all laid out for them, right? Like, the schedule, the division is so – the Bills are minus 700 to win the AFC East right now after week one. That is unheard of. So – just feeling really good about how it sets up for them. could talk about what they looked like, but how it sets up for them, I like. And yesterday, I'm just driving, like, what if they went 17-0? What if they just went 17-0?
There we go.
And, like, hey, if they went 20-0 and won the Super Bowl, like, are they on par with the Chiefs? Because they might have three, but I've got the perfect season. And now we're like, that's almost like winning two.
All this because Dawson Knox deflected a pass to Keon Coleman and kept him in the game.
And Kyle Hamilton jumped like a tenth of a second too late and didn't block a field.
Yeah, I mean, that one to me doesn't really matter much as much. I mean, I know he got close, but the fourth and two, it was a fourth and two deflection. It wasn't even if that pass falls to the ground, they have another play. If Dawson Knox doesn't tip that pass, maybe Shakir catches it. Maybe not. If he tips it any other direction. Maybe it's picked off. I want to be a little careful because they were getting hammered in that game.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote me a message on Twitter, maybe. Mo wrote in. I think Baltimore only gave up 40 points because, you know, they're playing Josh Allen and they're pushing, blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't think so. I think Baltimore scored 40 because it was easy for them. It was that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore was running out the clock in the fourth quarter and breaking long runs. You know, the last Henry touchdown to go to 40 was, holy cow, can you believe they really can't stop them. In fact, if Henry doesn't fumble, the Ravens score the next three plays? Maybe, maybe not. The Bills didn't get their punt until the very final possession.
Right.
So anyway, it's all to say it's a great win. It is absolutely all set up for them in the regular season. And it's the kind of game that reminds me, what will change our minds or anybody else out there about whether or not they'll do it when it matters? Because 17-0, that sounds great. But 17-0, 16-1, 15-2, if it's the one seed, isn't it all the same? You should put the one seed. Because 17-0 and not winning the Super Bowl would not be really much to hang your hat on. I know it's an undefeated season.
Right.
But, you know, it's just the way that it works.
No, it'd have to come with the Super Bowl or else.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really matter.
And if it did, would Josh Allen be the GOAT? Because, I mean, that's the thing I thought about. You're thinking about the Lombardi Trophy?
Man, the debate
What I thought about last night was, do I have to just accept that for the rest of my life, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he has seven Super Bowls? And no player that ever played the game that was, as we all watch, we're like, that guy is the best that I've ever watched play it. He doesn't get to be in the conversation because he has to have seven rings. This was, of course, I'm worth the risk of LeBron and Jordanifying this debate. But LeBron was supposed to never be able to catch Jordan because he wouldn't get his six rings. And he got a bunch.
Yeah, four.
But he didn't get his six.
Right.
And he lost a bunch in the finals, which is incredible to get there with some of the teams he had. But rings culture is that man over there. You may speak to me when you have as many rings as that man over there. And for Brady at seven, it's going to be tough. No one's ever able to get in the room with him on who's the best to ever play.
I'm sorry to inform you that for many, there is one gentleman that could throw his hat in the ring on that, but you're not going to want to have that happen.
Okay.
Because it would be Mahomes.
If the other...
Does he not already have more than... Or is he on par with what Brady had this age, if you're just doing it that way?
Probably. But if Mahomes plays the way that he plays the last 2 years and gets to six, is he in the conversation? I guess he has to be. That's what we do.
It's what we do.
But watching Allen play, how many people would say right now, he's the best I've ever watched play the game? Not greatest career, not most accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to say, I've never seen anyone better at the position?
I don't hear that much yet. But doesn't mean it's not deserved. How many people could you say that about, though? Like,
Peyton Manning,
right? And what is that usually met with? I hear that once in a while. I kind of like that argument the most. On who's the greatest quarterback ever? Like, okay, this reason. Like, it's Peyton Manning. Like, if I'm just counting rings, not Peyton Manning. But if I'm doing any like
statistical
smart analysis,
he won the most MVPs.
MVPs, like whatever. Like, it's Peyton Manning. What does that sound like to many? It's nerd boy likes Peyton Manning. Like, oh, how about you win a couple?
Right.
Like that. That's what that sounds like.
Wrap the spreadsheet around your finger.
Right. So is that what Allen is to some extent? I could say he's the greatest I've ever seen play, but I think he's in a group. He's in a group that I would say that about. I would say prime Rodgers and Peyton Manning. Like, there was something about, I would put Lamar in that category as well. Like, those might even be my four. Or, like, those guys just look different when they're playing at their peak. And I would have said that about Mahomes for 3 years, but I would not have said that about the last 3 years.
No, it's been different.
So that makes it tough, too. Like, I saw Mahomes look like that, and now I don't see Mahomes look like that. Now I see charts where he's got the second most overthrows in the league over a two-year period. Like, what is that? Is he actually great? Or is the team, whereas Josh is just like, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, he's just doing everything. He's incredible.
803-0550. We'll have Sal at 7 to catch up on Bills Jets. Joe Marino at 8:30. He put out his All-22 review on some of the things that went wrong with the Bills. I watched it. I can give you a little primer as what we'll get to with Joe. Safeties, an issue. He took issue with a couple things from both safeties. Communication, an issue. There are a number of times where the Bills defense was not really ready for what happened. We can talk about the Bishop blitz, but there's one where Terrell Bernard is kind of signaling to the players what's happening, and the snap happens, and Bernard's not looking at the quarterback or the ball. Mm-hmm. He's kind of catching up, so he's late. So, you know, maybe it's not all they're a disaster. It's coach him up here, get him more prepared there. Baltimore had a good game plan, and it won't be 40 points a game, which, of course, like, that would be the worst defense of all time. So Joe Marino at 8:30. And one other thing I am I'm eager to get to, and sometimes we're eager for the season to play out, sometimes we're eager. The Keon Coleman, this is one thing I predicted. The Keon Coleman debate/discourse will be healthy and infuriating for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you saw yesterday, there is an account that grades separation score and route win rate and all this. And they gave
fantasy points.
Okay.
I think. Yep.
And they gave Coleman like nothing.
Right.
He did not separate well. He did not win his routes. And I saw Ian Harditz, fantasy writer, post a couple clips of tape. Like, you're telling me these routes aren't wins?
It was that last play. The last play he had.
It was
where,
more than that. It was like five routes.
But like the first video he sent was.
The video included five different plays.
Oh, were there?
Yeah,
okay.
There was a bunch.
Yeah.
But the first clip on the video was the final route.
Yep.
And there were a couple of, or maybe you're right, and maybe the response was five routes where he's given a cushion, and basically fantasy points responded with, we don't give a receiver credit for separation if the separation is granted at the start of the play. Like, if there's 9 yards of separation on a soft zone, we don't give a receiver credit for keeping 9 yards. But whatever.
Right, he summarized with, none of the separation was earned by Coleman. It was given by the defense.
Yes. So I hope you're ready for that discourse for his entire career. Because at the end of the day, if he ends up with 1,800 yards and 0 yards of separation, no one cares. Right?
But no one cares. But he's not going to be in game situations like that.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah. That's where the debate will come
in. He'll get 1,800 yards if they're the Bengals and they're giving up 40 points a game.
He'll get 1,800 yards in that scenario. He'll get 1,800 yards if Josh Allen is endlessly in the scramble drill, because there's a lot of that in there too, right? The fourth and two, the one we're talking about, the tip pass, that's a scramble drill. That's Allen extending the play on fourth and two. And it's a touchdown and, 15 yards or whatever it is. Anyway, the Keon Coleman debate is coming for you and your family, because it's going to be all about how he doesn't separate, but he puts up stats. And I'm ready to say, like, you don't have to care about it totally. It might come up. It might be an issue along the way. But, you know, when they win a game and he puts up 112, like, take it. Take that all day. Anyway, 803-0550. So we'll see what Joe had to say about Keon Coleman and the Bills offense as well. Because Coleman had one target in the first three quarters of the game?
I think so.
Right. Baltimore decides a little bit to say, like, oh, let's play soft zone. And that was a mistake for them. Anyway, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. I also saw Kevin Cole. It's power ranking season. He has the Ravens number one, the Bills number two. Might make you mad out there. Maybe you think that's right. It was a heck of a game. Paul in Akron. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice to talk to you guys. The newly proclaimed Jerry and Joe show. But I wanted to talk about Tom Brady and being the GOAT and comparing them, because I think there should be an asterisk there. Yeah, the six Super Bowls count. He was there. He won them. But how much should we, like, take credibility? How many times does a thief steal before? before he gets caught. They were cheating. How long were they cheating? We don't know. They knew defensive plays to a lot of the teams they played, especially Buffalo was one of the worst ones. You take divisions by cheating and getting to the Super Bowl that way. So there should be kind of an asterisk there for cheating. That's just my opinion. Every time I hear about it, it's like, that guy cheated. And how long do we know that he cheated? And the commissioner destroyed evidence because it was so, you know, detrimental to the league. If this would have got out, we need to get rid of this. So that's just like a kid having something behind his back. What do you got? And he says nothing. You know, that's just me. But, I mean, there should be an asterisk there. That's what I wanted to say, guys. You have a good morning. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Bye. Yeah, I'll listen to that. I mean, it's not like it was the only one time, right? It wasn't just Spygate. It wasn't just Deflategate. They got caught videotaping the Bengals sideline like 4 years ago, didn't they? Wasn't it Brady's last year that happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Bengals security guy like, oh, no, guys, you're busted. We're not deleting this. They could have been circumventing the cap with the Brady TB12 nonsense where he's got teammates paying for stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we don't really do asterisks in sports, but I'll want to mention it every time. Like, yes, there's five different things to look at.
There's a book. Do you see the book out here in our lobby?
Yeah, what is that book? It's
so... We're doing
Brady's
some,
on the cover, isn't
he? He is. Yeah. It's a book about Brady's. It's called Tarnished, Tom Brady's Search for a Legitimate Super Bowl or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because somewhere in the last 25 years in this building, someone would have sent that book to somebody here. We're rearranging our offices and a lot going on. And people are unearthing, hey, look at this box of this and box of that. And there's a book on the table that, you know what, Paul? Maybe you want this book? It's all about how Brady's entire legacy is tarnished. And the picture on the cover is like a caricature of him. It's kind of goofy. It's funny. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Still kind of, this is where I say the thing I always say, which is that asterisks in sports aren't real. They don't put asterisks on anything. There's nothing that is actually given that. Nothing.
No, this is why I mean guys like Paul, the asterisk is just giving it life for the rest of time. That's it. Like, hey, they want. Yeah, I remember they cheated though, four times,
probably, maybe
that we know of.
And yet, that conversation we had at the start of the segment with all those Lombardi trophies that sit there, they're still there.
Although theirs is dented.
That's right. There's your asterisk.
There, the dented trophy. That should be the NFL's. Like, nah, you know, you guys did deflate, but we're not giving you another one. That's your trophy.
You know what they should do?
It's your dinged-up Gronk trophy. That's yours for now.
Your penalty is we're going to bunt with all of them. They're all going to get dented. That's the asterisk.
Goodell, before handing it to Kraft, just slams it on the table.
There you go.
Hard as he can.
Dented. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Sal at 7. See if, the clean injury report, we kind of expect, to see how things go and who might be a little closer to returning. You got a couple players on IR and suspension, so won't be any updates there, including Tyler Bass on IR. So Matt Prater to the active roster, so he'll be kicking for four games. You know, before it was, Bass was already on the IR. It was a matter of whether or not Prater would stick, and he will for four games because of what he did. So, yeah, Sal at 7, and then 8:30, Joe Marino, your calls along the way. I also have a little bit of a goofy question about, we're thinking about all these things, Super Bowls, blah, 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 blah. I have a question whatever. I'll just get to it about whether or not you're able to enjoy this stuff or you're too eager to get to the end of the story. That's coming up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was as good as I've ever seen him thread the line and walk the line of throwing on time because the concept or the coverage determines or says I got to throw on time. And then cutting it loose or making a play or a second reaction because something's not there and whatnot. And so the receivers stepping forward that we've talked about, the Josh Palmers and the Keon Colemans, was absolutely big time. And shout out to Ed Oliver. So it was fun football to watch back. I know that.
That it was. That's Dan Orlovsky talking about the Bills' win over the Ravens. He mentions Josh Palmer. Didn't bring this up in the first segment. Meant to get to it early on. Maybe you saw this. There's a story in Fox. So Henry McKenna of Fox Sports, NFL on Fox, posted an article he wrote about the anatomy of a comeback and Bills and Ravens. And in here is a little nugget from the sidelines where he talks about interviewing Josh Palmer and Khalil Shakir. Or during the first half, he relays a story that Palmer went over to Shakir and said this, or maybe he caught this. It doesn't exactly, I don't know how he got this. The article just reads, during the first half, as the Ravens racked up the points in the Bills, new receiver Josh Palmer walked over to teammate Khalil Shakir. Quote, okay, so when do we normally start to pick it up? You know, like the Bills I've been watching, end quote. So Palmer goes to Shakir and is like, when do we normally pick this up? And Shakir says, usually towards the end of the second half, we've got 17, end quote.
When do we start to pick it up?
When do we start to pick it up? And Shakir says,
yeah,
usually towards the end of the second half.
Uh-huh.
Which, it's kind of funny. That's a lighthearted way to talk about how yesterday our whole conversation on the show was basically about, you feel like they should have a little more end of the second half in the middle of the first half, right? Like,
right.
You think you should pick it up. And if you're someone that, you know, watched that game, and of course, it's one of the best experiences you might have had at Highmark Stadium, but you walk out and think, man, I feel like they really made it a lot worse than it had to be. They had to dig themselves out of this grave because of what happened earlier in the game. And here's Josh Palmer with the, like, Josh Palmer is all of us, is the meme or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Hey, for my first day here, when do we start to, you know, chuck the ball all over the place and score the points? Oh, soon. Like, that's what Shakir says. So, anyway.
Let's say they had done that. How would the game have gone differently?
It's a good question.
Because they weren't stopping Baltimore. So nope. would it have been 51-48 instead of 41-40? Like, we might have got more points.
Maybe.
But we can't get many more than you got. I would have liked to see them go faster earlier. Like, okay, this isn't going to work. We got to keep up with them. This is a shootout. We need to realize we're in a shootout, and we need to play that way. And they didn't until the second half. But if they had figured it out, like, after their first punt, and Baltimore just scores again, and it's like, man, how are we going to stop them at all today? And they go, all right, let's unleash. And it works. Is it the Ram Chief game from 5 years ago?
54-41.
Yeah.
54-51.
Like, it very well could have been.
It could have been. It could also be, the game I think about for that is Bills Dolphins a couple years ago after the Dolphins scored 70. That game started touchdown, 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 punt, and then
it was over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Like, you create a pressure for one of the teams to keep up. Both teams feel pressure, and ultimately who blinks? And then, like, all right, game script goes off, and, you know, you might be good to go. Anyway, if we're nitpicking that game, that's what you're getting at. And we'll hear from people today. Maybe Josh Allen's got something to say about the fans leaving, which, I don't know, you and I left the game. Not because they were losing, but because we get up.
Early. Yeah.
And I had to get home. Like, my plan was to leave at halftime regardless. And when I left it, they weren't down 16. I wasn't giving up.
Same.
They're down 7, and I have to go home, which was disappointing, but I did that. I wanted to do that. So I don't know exactly what the look of it was in the stadium. I heard Sal on the Extra Points, you're talking about people leaving early. And I have the same interpretation Sal does, which is just leave people alone, you know? It's late. It's a Sunday night, and there's 6 minutes left, and it's not just any old traffic. Traffic at that stadium can be a disaster. It can be really difficult. So if a person makes a decision, not saying, I don't really believe in Josh Allen, but I'd like to get home with the opportunity to sleep 4 hours instead of 2 hours. Also, we live in a time where when you're walking to your car, you can watch the game on your phone.
Right.
You're not leaving in 1991.
Yeah.
I'm still going to watch.
Because I think Josh Allen.
I mean, someone called us this week that did that. Somebody I talked to this week did that exact thing.
What's that?
Like, left the stadium and then watched from their phone.
I did that.
Yeah. It was you, right?
I did that. On the drive home, I'm not driving and watching, but my wife and I, like, the game's on the phone, I'm good to go. Like, I can know what's happening.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to miss anything. I don't know. I feel like the getting after people.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing where you win a game in week one, you're like, oh, congratulations, it's week one. They didn't leave a playoff game. They left week one at midnight. That game was late. I don't know. I feel like the getting after people for leaving is a little tough.
They're being empowered by their quarterback saying it, though, aren't they?
That is true. I heard a guy call the afternoon show a little bit upset, a little bit turned off by it.
By Allen saying it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. He won't apologize for that today, will he? Will he talk about it at all?
He definitely doesn't need to, and maybe he said...
Well, because he's in the heat in the moment after the game, and that if that is... That's a non-Josh Allen Buffalo athlete that could come across much more as, what are you taking a shot at the fans for? Have a little faith next time?
Like,
you don't need to say that. But it's Josh Allen, so, you know, that fan might if another player says it, like, hey, leave me alone. Like, let me do what I want. Josh is like, oh, I'm sorry, Josh. Like, I won't do it again. Like, there's much more of that attitude, I think, when it's him saying it than others. I don't know if he'll even be asked about it today.
He might. He'll have a good answer for it if he was, and you know, he'll flash a smile and I'll be like, "Yeah, he's probably right. Fine, I won't leave next time."
Right.
He's good at that. Anyway, 803-0550 is our phone number and 1-888-550-2550. The Bills and the Jets. Justin Fields. It's going to be I would say this about the defense, and my thought on the game going in this week will be if they get just absolutely crushed on the ground again. Mm-hmm. This time by Breece Hall, who ran well against the Steelers.
He was great. I think he led the league in yards over expected in week one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and the Bills' second level is not up for it this week to fill, then we could have a conversation about it. Joe Marino's his All-22, I mentioned we're going to get to Joe Marino at 8:30. He put in on a couple plays. One, we had a caller yesterday say that they thought Taylor Rapp looked like he was playing because – like to not get hit. And Joe effectively said the same thing. Like it looked like maybe he was a little timid out there. Well, I'll let him say exactly what he meant coming up at 8:30. But there's that. Then there's the play where Dorian Strong chases down Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big long break. Henry gets out the gate. It's not a touchdown. He tracks him down. On that play, Cole Bishop is just as passive as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bishop's job. It's a run play. Get up there and, you know, I mean, I wouldn't do this because it would be insane to think about. But you got to run up there and you've got to absolutely hit Derrick Henry to the ground. And Bishop just waits. And and he's by the time it all happens, he's flat-footed. He's got a blocker, and Henry is out the gate again.
Yeah.
So like you had multiple examples of Bernard and Bishop and Rapp not up for this challenge.
Right.
And I don't know that the Jets have the same chops in this department. They don't have Henry. But they have Breece Hall, and
he's good.
He can erase an angle. He's fast.
Right, he's going to do it differently. Right, he's going to do it with elusiveness more so than just, oh, my God, here comes a freight train heading straight for me. Maybe Bishop's more – is he afraid, though, of Henry? Like, that was kind of what that sounds like. Because is Breece Hall coming through the gap, and he's being more aggressive because he knows, like, all I got to do is get a piece of this guy.
Yeah.
Versus this is a player that – earlier in the game, was thrown to the center of the earth by Derrick Henry. So, is that the timidness that he's showing in that moment? Is I've already been hit by this dude today. Like, here he comes. And by the time you even do that for a second, he hits you flat-footed. Breece Hall is 5'11", 200 pounds.
Very different.
Like, go run at him.
Yep.
So, I would expect that play to look differently against this running back. He might still get beat. Hall would just do it differently. I think he might make him overextend or whatever. Like it could still be bet. He could be beat, but I think it would happen differently.
803-0550. Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make it clear. I'm not one of these people, like, you know, the sky's falling. Our run defense is terrible. We played probably the best running team in the NFL on Sunday night. And they were without their fullback, you know, otherwise they were completely healthy, right? So
without their fullback and without their best tight end.
There might be a difference. Yeah, exactly. So they're only going to get better if they get healthier, but we know how it goes in the season. There's injuries that happen. So that's a different story for a different day. My thing is this. You know, you guys are going to have Joe Marino on later, and I absolutely love the way he breaks down Bills film. I'm one of those people that just I suck it all in because I appreciate the nuances of the football game. And the one thing, I don't know if he's going to touch on this, but the one thing I really want to hear if he breaks down is the play of the defensive line. It's their job to make sure that the offensive linemen don't get to the next level. So if that's what was failing the team, let's just say the defensive linemen weren't doing their job and keeping their linebackers clean, maybe that's why Henry was able to run all over us. But one idea that I've heard, right, it's not my idea, so don't bite my head off, is if we cannot fix this run defense, is the possibility of trading for Justin Simmons. I know that, you know, he's one of the premier defensive.
You mean Justin you mean Jeffrey? Jeffrey Simmons, right? You mean Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans?
Jeffrey Simmons. Yes. I'm so sorry. Yes, Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans. He's one of the premier defensive tackles in the NFL, and I don't know what it would cost. I know we restructured Deion Dawkins' contract before the season started. I don't know how much cap that created. I trust Brandon Bean. The cap is just – it's a fake number, to be honest. If you have a GM that just knows how to manipulate it, just get something done. Like, I would love if they can do something like that if we can't fix it with the group of guys we have right now.
Well, I don't think they can do it because of cap reasons. Like, I think immediately, like, the idea gets shut down. I'd love to have the player, but he has a cap hit that I don't think they can manage. Like, it's the same as what Hendrickson was.
$22 million cap hit.
Yeah, like, they can't do that.
And,
so,
you know, if you want to talk about...
Even with a restructure?
You got to have the $22 million first.
Yeah, if the $22 million in space. The other thing is, if you're looking to do this, I just don't think... Who trades a premier defensive tackle midseason? Who does that? There's a point we made here about the Micah Parsons trade. When the Cowboys trade Parsons, isn't it pretty much thought that they only dealt with the Packers? The Eagles made an offer that might have been better, but they didn't call them back.
Right.
If Parsons was available on the open market, teams could have rearranged their entire offseason to make it happen.
Right.
Instead, he gets traded in August, and right. Or is it even September?
September
1st?
Right.
Whatever. He gets traded so late, there are a limited number of teams that can do it. And if you're the Titans, let's say you were even open to the idea of trading Jeffrey Simmons, who you drafted and just signed to a 4-year, $94 million contract extension because he's one of the premier defensive tackles. Mo, what I would say is if you're looking for reinforcements on the defensive line, I think you should look about 25% as expensive. Is there somebody out there making $7 million?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody out there, I don't want to say a free agent. I'm going to go back to Linval Joseph. And I'm also not even sure that that's the position we should be talking about. There, you have two young players that give them some time, Sanders, Walker, right? I've got reinforcements there. I've got Jordan Phillips on the practice squad. I've got Ogunjobi maybe ready to come back in six more weeks because of the bye. So of all the positions on the team, I actually think I have reinforcements. It's a matter of getting them ready for January. And to trade for Jeffrey Simmons, if you were to do that, you are then doling out a monstrous contract extension, probably because he has an out on this year's deal. The Titans can get out if they want to. They probably won't. But, I mean, he's 28 and a premier defensive tackle. You just don't trade for that guy in September, I don't think.
No, I mean, what you'd hope for is – I'm trying to find the stats on this. I saw stats yesterday that, like, when – TJ Sanders and Deion Walker didn't play much. Like, it was like 13 and 15 snaps. But in those limited snaps, the numbers Henry had, like, three of his big runs came against those two while they were out there on the field. And Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones played at higher rates than they normally do, like what their normal average is. And I wonder if a lot of that on Sunday was not just that Oliver was having a great game, it's... Well, if we can't trust these rookies right now.
Yeah.
Or at least not in this game against this team. It's a tough challenge for them right out of the gates. But you got a lot of Jones and Oliver in that game. And I wonder if it was just the two rookies were not up to it in week one.
So I think you're more likely to give those guys like 3 months than you are to just jump ahead of them with a whale.
I think so.
We got to get a break in. Sal at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on this conversation. Thanks, Mo. We're not going to bite your head off. I mean, hey, all ideas are welcome.
I love the player. I would love
all ideas are welcome. Yeah. We'll talk about the feasibility of it. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. When we get back, the best nickname in sports has been born. I can't believe how good it was. There will be costumes. There will be theme songs. There's a franchise worth rooting for.
Wow.
Because of one nickname that was sitting right in front of our faces.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones, with time, touch pass, he's got a man, Pittman, touchdown! Michael Pittman in the end zone, and the Colts take a 9-0 lead.
So NFL Game Day, the NFL Game Day account, NFL account tweeted out, Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
it is pretty
have
good.
They been just saying that? If Colts fans been ready to rock with Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm. To me, they've never had an Indiana Jones before.
I don't know, but he's...
Thomas Jones never played for the Colts. What about...
being the quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback helps a lot.
Daniel Jones now...
Cardell Jones never got there.
He's my second favorite quarterback right now, Daniel Jones, because of the nickname alone.
Indiana
Jones. Come on. They're gonna have fun
with it this week.
They're playing Denver.
It's
going to be a little tougher.
It's going to get smoked.
But picture it. You're at Lucas Oil Stadium. The fans have the fedoras on.
Uh-huh.
The theme song plays when he scores. They'll make the playoffs with Indiana Jones. I'm rooting for it now. It's amazing.
It'd be fun if it happened. Who would you bet in that division right now?
Jacksonville.
Texans plus 175, Jacksonville plus 185, Colts plus 250. It's all pretty close.
I'd bet Jacksonville.
You'd bet Jacksonville. They didn't look great either.
No.
But Carolina looked a lot worse.
Yep. It's week one. I'd bet Jacksonville. I think Liam Cohen, the weapons they have. Like Brian Thomas Jr. did almost nothing. He had one catch. He did not much at all.
One catch
for 11 yards. Might have been one of his worst games statistically that he's ever had. So they'll get it on track. Travis Hunter.
Tennessee, I didn't think looked that bad. I think they had 8 drops in the game.
Yeah. The story on Tennessee is that Cam Ward was very good and the Titans were very bad.
They couldn't catch the football.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to bet on Daniel Jones. And what am I going to bet on the team that scored 9 points and could? The Texans are not going to be able to protect Stroud again. At all. Like that. I mean, it's the Rams, Jared Verse. It looked tough. Jacksonville by default would probably be my pick, too. They looked the least bad. Well, the Colts looked the best, but I'm not buying that.
803-0550. You want to get in with Sal? We'll talk about what the Bills can learn from in that win over Baltimore. What they can change defensively, how much they'll have to based on, a new matchup, and whether or not it was just a bad day, a very, very tough opponent, whatever. We'll see how things go this week. Sal's coming up to check in. Of course, media day down at One Bills Drive. Regular game week, Sunday 1 o'clock game. We get a few of those this year. It's a road game. But Bills and Jets on the way. We'll start to talk about that with Sal coming up here on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.